Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's a privilege to be back with you again and to celebrate the first Sunday of Advent and just to look around and see just how beautifully it's been decorated. There's a lot going on right now, and just being one who's visited a second time with you, there's a lot to process. But if we just take a moment and in this moment invite, if you haven't already, Jesus in. And we've worshiped in some wonderful songs. We've heard some really powerful news. And we also are encouraged to wait well. And I appreciate the reading we just had. There is a sense that you can wait well or you can wait poorly. Just as a kid, and I promise you there'll be some dad jokes, I remember waiting for Christmas and that anticipation for what's next. And then, of course, wanting to sneak down and tear it open and all that kind of stuff ahead of time. But I don't want to be campy, but I do want to encourage you that whatever way you're waiting, you can invite Jesus into that too. And I have this testimony that when we wait on the Lord, he makes things better. And we can honor him with how we do that. So let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Our days, our times, our moments are completely in your hands. Thank you for coming, Jesus. And by your Holy Spirit, thank you for staying. You promised to never to leave us nor forsake us. Thank you that at this time of year, and though people may debate the dates of which you came, thank you for the fact that you did come. And you live in the hearts of your people. So for your glory alone, please come now. Help us to wait well and to reflect on, to cherish this good news with great joy. In the name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
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 Sorry.
That's okay, brother. I was about to check and see. Let's give our brother a hand there. Yeah. I appreciate that because my voice will go out after a while. You know, this is an exciting time of year. And there is a sense that we can get caught up with the material aspect of Christmas. Some people can dive fully into the debates on what year was the birth of Christ, and you can kind of exhaust yourself ad nauseum into all the different ways of looking at Christmas. But as we're going to read in the text, Jesus Christ really exists. There were non-Christians who wrote about him. There were historians who, Tacitus, Pliny, there are others that escaped my memory that actually wrote about this Jesus of Nazareth. And so, as you're here today, and I know we have some little ones here, I'd like to share a few things from Luke chapter 2, which was so wonderfully read, and we appreciate Kelsey sharing those words. And as you make your way there, we're going to look at three points in this text. There might be observations or reflections on what's here, what's been written by Luke, the gospel writer. The first is the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. That means he controls, he rules everything. People, nations, time. It's all, as the song, he's got the whole world in his hands. Y'all know that one?
Yes.
Can we sing that for the kids real quick? Just one verse? Hey, let's do it. He's got the whole world in his hands. 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 Oh, that's wonderful. Now, if it gets, yeah. So kids and not so young kids, he really does have the world in his hands. God is sovereign, and if we go through tough times, it's good to reflect on that truth. And we're going to look at that in these first seven verses of chapter 2. But then God, who is sovereign or rules, is also gracious. He's gracious. That means he gives his goodness to those who don't deserve it. Like me. Anybody else here? He's gracious and he's good. And that he is not, let me say it this way, he doesn't play favorites. Have you ever gone somewhere and you just couldn't pay the price of admission? Have you ever been in a grocery line and you had to put some things back on the shelf because you couldn't get it? Well, the grace of God is available through Jesus Christ for all people. Rich, poor, not poor, but poor. So broke, can't afford the OR. Red, brown, yellow, black, y'all never heard that before. I'm armed with dad jokes this morning. I'm armed with them. 53, and I'm just zinging them out. So, but he really is gracious. And we'll observe this in the text that the announcement comes to some of the lowliest of folks, shepherds. And then he's also faithful. That means he is faithful. You can count on him that what he says he will do. He doesn't change. He keeps his promises to Israel, and he keeps his promises to his church, and that it really is good news of great joy. And so I hope today, not just me kind of blasting this out to you, but me being a recipient of this as well. I want to wait well as I'm striving to follow Jesus Christ. So this is a narrative. Let's look at these first seven verses. They've been read. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David. I want to pause right there. These verses give us a timestamp in this gospel message from the writer Luke. Luke, who was one of the followers of Christ, one of the disciples and apostles, if you will, he was a physician. He was a very intelligent man. Not to nerd out a bit, but he wrote his gospel in comparison to the other gospel writers. It kind of shows. You know, if you ever look at, I don't know if there are any teachers in the room, if you compare the writings of that A student versus the C student, well, Luke would have been closer towards the A side. So there's a sense that his writing in the Greek is very well done. And this isn't to buff Luke's halo, but we also see that God is using Luke, who happens to be among the Gentiles. So Luke's message not only is going out to the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, but it's also kind of broadening the net, if you will, towards this wider audience, because there were Jew and Gentile combined in what we call today the church. And so here we see, that God is sovereign even over, and this is something that could be hard to hear, but he's also sovereign over governments. Caesar Augustus. Now, if you don't know this, but the Romans, to put it really mildly, they weren't really nice guys. They killed, they conquered, they subdued, and quite frankly, their rule was kind of brutal. I can't go into the detail because there's kids here. If you like to read history, there's something called 12 Caesars by Suetonius. I read this in seminary. The Caesars were horrible. Now, why am I bringing this up? God was sovereign and is sovereign over all nations, all governments, all politicians, no matter where you land, that he can work even through the most difficult and darkest of times. I want you to think about that, because it was in that day that Jesus would be born in Nazareth, in Bethlehem. Let me get that right. And notice this, that none of that, the government or whoever, the rulers, none of that could stop God, who is sovereign over all people. Now, hang with me a moment. God had preserved the nation of Israel from the conquerors of the Medo-Persians, the Babylonians before them, the Greeks, who actually took their language, Koine Greek, throughout the whole Mediterranean world. In fact, much of the New Testament is written in Greek. And it all was groundwork, if you will, for the coming of Jesus. I don't know if you could appreciate that or not, or even for the fact that the Romans had roadways. They had a way that you could go from one part of the empire to the other. And so that by the time of the coming of Christ and the time of the apostles, the letters and the things of the Word of God would be able to be sent throughout. You know how we have the World Wide Web? Well, they had through the Roman government ways to send letters back and forth. And much of the New Testament, we see that. Why am I saying this? When we find ourselves in difficult times and we feel that there are larger groups or entities that seem like they have all power, God has all power. I cannot control what happens way over in East Africa right now where my friends are. But God does. You see what I'm saying? He may say, you know, Charles, you're worried about this, that, and the other, but how about treat your next door neighbor right? Be kind to your loved ones. How are you doing with that? Well, let me drop back to this. God is sovereign. And during Caesar's reign and during this time, a census is taken so that, of course, they can collect their taxes. But then here it is that it brought about a part of God's plan to bring Joseph and Mary back to Bethlehem. Do you see that connection? So that he not only rules and reigns over these larger entities and groups, but he also rules and reigns over his people. So that the prophecy of Micah that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem would actually come to pass. Let me say it in this way, if you're following. I remember as kids, we would take dominoes, and we'd get boxes and boxes, and we'd stack it up into patterns. Y'all recall that? Because we knew that if we hit this domino, it would connect here to here to here. And somehow, some way, that one piece was a part of a bigger piece. And once each of them were in place, it would come out to a pattern that was wonderful. Well, this is the sovereignty of God in Jesus Christ. That his birth, this actual time that he would come and walk among us, would take place all according to his plan because he is sovereign. And let me watch the time here. The time in which he would come to his own people was a tough time. I don't want to say life is always sunshine and rainbows, but think of this. Mary and Joseph were a part of really a royal family. And they're from the house of David. And yet when they arrive and she's pregnant, there's no room in the inn. What's that all about? We just had Thanksgiving, right? Imagine showing up at your family's house, your relatives, maybe first, second cousins, and you have your spouse, and they're like, oh, sorry, we don't have any room for you. But there's room in the shed out back. How about that for a visit? It's kind of awkward, right? But it's a little bit of a picture of how lowly and how humble Jesus came into the world. He could have went straight to the palace. He could have went to the emperors and like, beat it, this is my throne. But he came so humble and lowly. And that's a beautiful picture that he can reach any and all people who turn to him by faith. God is sovereign. He's also gracious. I'm going to jump down to verse 8 there. And you've heard it read. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. I want to pause there, verse 9. Old and New Testament scriptures, whenever angels would show up, the response was usually dread and fear. And you know, we have depictions of angels. You might see these little cute little baby cherubs kind of flying around and they got a Cupid or whatever. But in the Bible, that's not what you see. You see these, you know, really dazzling light, brilliant warriors, quite frankly. And the first thing they do, people drop down with dread and fear. So there's a sense of comfort that's given to them. And you see this in verse 10. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. This is good news. Jesus Christ, the reality of his birth, his life, his ministry, his death for my sins and your too. And his resurrection is good news. I'm not just saying that. It's good news to me. I love being here. I'm looking forward to coming back. Don't hit me with anything. But if you don't receive that good news for yourself, I don't know what else to give you. The best I can give you is Jesus. I tell my kids that. The best I can give you is Jesus. And it's good news that a holy, righteous God would love the world so much that he would give his only begotten son. Any parents in here? Would you give your child for people that would curse you? Would you give your child for people that would ignore you? Would you give your child for those who willfully turn away and those who want to be God? But Romans tells us that God demonstrates his love for us, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. This is the wonder that when we remember, and later on in the service, and to his body, his blood, it cost him. It really did. And friends, this shows us that God is gracious. And he announces this news to lowly shepherds. Can you imagine those guys out there watching their sheep? Maybe they got a fire going. And just a side note, the shepherd's job was not a glamorous role. I'm just imagining them out there maybe just trying to keep warm. And if you've ever worked on a farm or you have family down south or if you've ever been around animals for a long time, it's a smelly business, right? And yet, these are the ones that are receiving this announcement. What do we learn about God when we understand that this is who he chose to announce it to? I wonder about that. You know, growing up, there's so many people who loved on me, and y'all have heard me share stories. I think about cafeteria workers, and my dad worked a bulldozer at a landfill. It's a fancy way of saying a garbage dump. He was a pastor, but he also was a heavy machine operator with the backhoe. And these guys, during the winter, this is back east in Jersey, and I think it was Victor Brothers playing music there, and they would come in out of the cold and huddle around a heater, drinking their coffee and doing whatever they needed to do before they had to go back out on that equipment. Just ordinary folks. That's not to say the Lord can't reach the person in the C-suite on the top floor or what have you, but the Bible also teaches us that it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom than to go through an eye of a needle. We tend to forget how much we depend on God when we get a lot of stuff. That's just human nature. Well, God gives this announcement to, I just imagine him to Joe and Parker and Charlie. These are people that my dad would know. And they're hearing the great news. Is it good news to you today? Is it good news to know that you have a living God who had made an announcement so many years ago, and it's for all people? And let's look at this announcement. Verse 11 tells us here, "For today in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." David being the king in ancient times past who received the promise of an everlasting covenant that there will be one from his family line who would rule forever. David received that prophecy that way long after he had been gone, Jesus would take that throne. And then, I'm doing my best not to nerd out here, but think about this. There was 32 generations that would take place from the birth of Adam to Abraham, from Abraham to David, and from David to Christ. That shows just how wise just how God, with his sagacity, that's the best word I can come with, would knit it all together to bring about Jesus' birth at this time to show his grace and his goodness to the world. Let me maybe break this more plain to us. I'm trying my best. Imagine all the things that went into you meeting your mate, husband and wives that are here, who introduced you, and hopefully you're happy about that still, how you came together. Where you, I mean, you could have been walking down the hallway at school and turned the corner, and, oh, there she is. You know, I don't know all the details. Or move it further back. What were the things that brought your parents or your grandparents? And all of those things, God over all of it, bringing it about to bring you into existence or your children. And to know that these shepherds are out there in the field hearing this good news, that there will be one born in the city of David who would be the Savior. The Israelites experienced so many hardships, and they would often pray for God to literally save them. Save us from these enemies, save us from these problems, and even save us from the consequences of our own choices and sins. Right? And Jesus Christ is that one who saves, not just physically, but spiritually too. He came into the world to save sinners. Here's one right here. Anyone else? And this is the beauty of Christmas, that there's one who came and is willing to do that. And if you haven't made that decision, oh, today is a great day to do it. He also tells us he is Christ or Messiah, the Lord. The Mashiach, the anointed one, he is the true and rightful ruler. I'm a fan of The Lord of the Rings and all of those books by Tolkien, as well as C.S. Lewis, his writings with Narnia. And there's a sense through allegory and metaphor, they're telling the story of how evil comes into the world and seems like it reigns. But then there is one who has rightful reign over the lives of all of their people. And this is Jesus Christ. So he is Messiah. Now it's interesting, we just read that Caesar was ruling, right? We just read that there was Quirinius who was a governor, but those jokers came and went, but Jesus is still Lord to the glory of God the Father. If you're glad about it, let's thank him. So God, who's not only sovereign, he's gracious. The fact that he offers this freely to all people, he says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men of whom he's pleased. Angels have the good sense to announce this and be glad about it. I just want to pause for a moment. I'm not saying you have to go to work and go around and bashing people with the Bibles, but it really is good news. It's good news that there's someone who is righteous enough to pay for all of my sins. And we live in a world that needs some good news. You can watch the news and hear a lot of bad news, but what would it look like that the family of God takes this news to heart so that if you have people that are literally losing their mind, you say, hey, can I pray for you? Or they see a degree of peace in your life, like, wow, I've watched you go through some hard times. You've had some illnesses, or you've had a wayward child, or you've had a spouse that has gone on, done his thing or her thing, but you haven't lost your mind. You have some peace. Are you one of those Christians? Well, by God's grace, I am. And it's not me. I've received his love. I received his forgiveness. I have hope. Let me share with you a story. I thank God that when he made us in his image, and he has made no mistakes. There are people who are angry with their creator for being who he has made them to be. I want to be delicate with how I say this. I thank God I'm a man. I really do. But there are people who did not have that experience, and they may have been mistreated or abused and so forth, and have believed the lie that God made something wrong. I want to watch myself because there are kids in here. But I'll never forget, there was a person at the hospital who tried to take his life. And unfortunately, at that time, he was not in his right mind. And the way he dressed, the way he carried himself was not in a manly way. And so, unfortunately, he was literally not well. But there was a nurse, who would sing and was literally giving him first aid to his wounds, and she would just minister to him. And when I say minister, not in a churchy way, she would just listen and talk to him. And then he began to ask her questions. He's like, well, why did God do this? And why did God make me this way? And why did this? And I'll never forget what this good Christian woman said. She said, young man, you have been made a man to the glory of God. I want to let you know that God loves you, and I do too. And when she said that, I saw that young fella, his back kind of straightened up. And some of the heaviness on him began to lift. And she began to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to this person who needed to hear it. What would it look like if we take his light into very dark places? And it was a dark place. Something to think about. God's light shined out there with those shepherds who needed to hear it. It's a crazy world out there. I'm not going to lie, it really is. But God is sovereign, God is gracious, and God is faithful. So, not the disciples, but the shepherds who would become disciples, when the angels had gone away from them in heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about the child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which they told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. God is faithful. Now, this encounter that the shepherds had, they heard the angelic announcement. They heard it from the angels, and that itself was major. But then they went to see if it was true. Are we seeing things? Did you just see what I saw? And there was a sense that they wanted to verify that what they experienced actually happened. Now, I have to tell you, there have been times I've saw some things in my life, too. And I've had friends there. I'm like, hey, did you just see what we just saw? And they went and they saw that it was confirmed that here's the babe. Why is this important? Whether it was in the event of the shepherds seeing Jesus in the manger, or even the prophecies concerning the Christ coming, or even the account of Luke himself, there is a sense that we should recognize the faithfulness of God to bring things to pass that he has promised. This is important because we live in an age that will doubt, deny, and reject the word of God. We live in a highly skeptical age. And I'm not saying not apply your mind and reason, but there is a sense that if we don't push back against that, and here's the thing, and we had a great conversation earlier. This is where your personal faith comes to be. Is God faithful? I'm going to ask you that. Is he faithful?
Yes.
Let me bring it closer to home. Is he faithful to you? Absolutely. So now we've gone from just reading the text of Scripture, and Luke's gospel is a good news, but going from information to transformation, you know what? This is good news for me. And this is hopefully good news for you. Could it be that the coming of Jesus Christ can have implications on how we live today? How we deal with people? How we see people, how we interact with folks. All day long, we have a chance to recognize his sovereignty over our lives, his graciousness in our lives, and his faithfulness, and not only appreciate it for ourselves, but what if we reflected it? Do we live in such a way that we acknowledge God's rule over our lives? That can show up when we're disappointed. Oh, that didn't go quite the way I wanted, Lord, but you're in charge. Help me to ride this out. This is how I talk. Help me to do what you want me to do. Am I gracious to people? Here's how this is tested. Am I gracious when they're not gracious to me? Somebody said, sometimes. Y'all getting kind of quiet. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your honesty. So we got one in here. I'm going to switch places, have you come up and finish the rest of this, right? Yeah, Jesus says something, smack you on the cheek, turn the other. And didn't he reflect that? I'm glad Jesus is Lord, because some of us, if we were, it'd be like the Thanos snap. Where's half the population? Just being honest. And here, look at how he comes, meek and lowly, born in a manger, in a feeding trough, and faithful to his words. I'm about through. So as we reflect on this good news for great joy, I want to ask some things, and I appreciate you interacting with you. Are you waiting well? Can you say that, you know, this Christmas may be a little different, but I submit to his authority over my life? Or maybe I haven't been, and I'm going to ask the Lord to forgive me. I'm not in control of all these things, but he is, so I bow to him. Help me be gracious. Help me be faithful. Help me to wait well. So before we transition, I know in a moment we're going to have communion and be closing out. I do a bit of flying, and I don't particularly enjoy flying the most. I'm learning to enjoy it because it's something about someone else being in control. And you know, they have the screen. You can kind of look and see your mile tracker and all that. And sometimes I pull that up, and now they have something where you can actually look at it from the cockpit standpoint, as if that's like, now I'm flying it from row 20, seat C. And you know, and I talk to the Lord. I'm like, well, I'm not like this when I'm driving on the 405. And it'd be more likely an accident on a 405 than while I'm up in this Airbus that these pilots are flying. But the other day I was praying, I said, help me to honor you in the wait. And I was on a flight from Dallas and was sitting next to a young man who's a Christian. And thank the Lord, this full flight, we actually had an empty seat, so we had a leg room. And has had a great time of fellowship. He loves the Lord, and he works in L.A., and he, young fella, he doesn't want to drift from his devotion to Christ. And what started off being an anxious moment for me flying shifted towards a moment of mutual encouragement and fellowship. And I say this to say, I could have spent those 3 hours focusing on me or focusing on my brother in Christ and fellowship, and he did the same. So I hope as CBC goes through a period of waiting, not just corporately as a church with your transition, but also in your home. Jesus knows about what we long for. You know, maybe a health concern. Maybe a child we're trying to see launch. Maybe business or what have you. Let's invite him to be Lord over all of those things and then rejoice and seeing his sovereignty in them, seeing his grace at work in them, and his faithfulness. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Praise you, from whom all blessings flow. As we bow before you now, we acknowledge you, Jesus Christ, as Lord of all. Thank you for coming. And on this first day that we symbolically reflect on your coming in Advent, we invite you into all areas of our life. Help us to let go of control and to surrender it to you. You are sovereign and gracious and faithful. And we pray you be glorified in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.